Ahead of tomorrow's midterm elections, more than 34 million people have already cast early or absentee ballots. That is a 50% increase over early voting from the last midterm in 2014. And turnout has increased the most among younger voters, minorities, and people who rarely or never vote.
And of course, President Trump and others hope to boost the number of voters that come out even more. The president holds three rallies today. Yesterday in Chattanooga, he stuck with his campaign trail theme.
Democrats want to invite caravan after caravan of illegal aliens to pour into our country. I don't think so.
Well, former President Obama is making the closing arguments for Democrats. Yesterday at a rally for Senator Joe Donnelly in Indiana, he reminded the crowd the Republican attempt at repealing health care reform was staved off by one vote, the late John McCain's.
Indiana, we can't let Joe's opponent become the deciding vote that ends your protections for pre-existing conditions. Democrats are going to protect your care, period.
Joining us today to look ahead at the midterm elections, Juana Summers, national political reporter for the Associated Press. Hi, Juana.
Hey, guys.
And Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC. Hi, Beth.
Hey.
So, Beth, when we hear about those early voting numbers, do you have any sense at this point of what that means for what this midterm election is going to look like?
Well, the early voting numbers are extraordinary, as you said. And if the assessment at this point is true, that a lot of first-time voters are actually coming out and casting their votes this time, it is likely to be helpful to Democrats. That's always been the problem with midterm elections, especially in the past. The people who are typically the Democratic base, they're the younger people, people of color, students, single women, single minority women, those are the groups that tend not to come out and vote in midterms. And that's typically why Republicans in many midterms have dominated. That just doesn't look to be the case this time. People are very fired up on the Democratic side. They're coming out. They're voting. They were voting in the early vote. But on the other hand, so are many of President Trump's supporters. They're very fired up as well. What we're basically seeing is two different sides of how they are looking at politics, basically afraid of the other side. Mm-hmm. And so they are coming out and voting in big numbers because they're so afraid of what the other side is going to do if they prevail. Mm-hmm. It's a regrettable situation in this country, but our country has been very divided politically for quite some time, and we are seeing that now.
Well, let's talk about the two messages. Juan, I want you to weigh in on this, particularly President Trump's message. As we know, starting last week, there are a lot of questions. Why isn't he talking more about what are great economic numbers for him? Why is he pivoting to what many have just called fear-mongering about a caravan that's so many miles away? And they were asking, should maybe Democrats respond to that more? Well, here's President Obama in Gary, Indiana yesterday, slamming that take.
2 weeks before this election, they're telling us that the single most grave threat to America is a bunch of, like, poor, impoverished, broke, hungry refugees 1,000 miles away.
Juana, Politico's reporting House Speaker Paul Ryan called the president yesterday and urged him to pivot.
That's right. And we do know that President Trump has, throughout the course of his presidency, really liked to take credit for the healthy economy, even in some cases exaggerating the merits of that. But it seems like in this final sprint ahead of the midterm election, he's really chosen to wage this battle on the ground of immigration. He's described himself as a nationalist. He's, in some cases, vilified immigrants, both legal and illegal. And I think what we're seeing now really goes beyond what most presidents have done during competitive midterm election years in the modern era at those rallies across the country, guys. His supporters have really cheered him on. They say that President Trump is taking on the elites and guarding their country against outliers. The question is, though, does that turn out people outside of the president's base in some of these really tight congressional races across the country?
Beth, Democrats have been trying to focus on health care and to point out that, you know, while many, many Republicans, almost all of them, voted to repeal Obamacare and its protections for pre-existing conditions, that the Democrats have been in favor of those protections all along. Republicans now saying, and I've seen a lot of ads from Republicans saying, we stand for protecting pre-existing conditions as well. But how do you think that issue is going to play in?
Yeah, Democrats are really betting the store on health care. There's no doubt about it. They have refused to take the bait generally on immigration, despite the fact that President Trump is out there talking about this nonstop and is basically has sort of an unchallenged platform to do so, because Democrats just aren't engaging on that. They're really sticking to health care. They're talking about protections for pre-existing conditions, believing very strongly, you know, looking at polling, that what issues people most care about are health care. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. They're either geniuses or they're crazy, depending on how the outcome of tomorrow is going to look. Because of that unchallenged platform for President Trump to really bear down on immigration, which we do know is an important issue to many people. But Democrats have clearly very strongly staked their whole purpose at this point on telling voters that they are the party that are going to protect their health care.
This is like the 10th election in a row where the focus has been on health care, way or the other.
Well, I was also going to say, you could say that of every election, that they're either genius or crazy until the next day when it's decided.
Precisely.
But speaking of that, let's take a look at some of the Senate races that are so tight. You know, will Heidi Heitkamp hold on to her Senate seat in North Dakota? And then there's that Texas Senate race between the Republican incumbent Ted Cruz, the challenger, the Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke, both on CBS's 60 Minutes last night. And Cruz defended, you know, people have criticized him for being such a critic of President Trump because President Trump so vilified him and his father and his wife during the 2016 campaign. And he defended cozying up to Trump now.
Listen, I don't apologize for not being self-centered and pounding my foot and refusing to work with the president. I'm going to do my job for the people of Texas.
Well, on the other hand, you have Politico writing that Beto O'Rourke blew this campaign. It's not even, you know, Election Day yet, but he blew it because he did too many national issues like impeachment and didn't focus on the local issues. So, Juana, weigh in there. How do you see this race?
This race has been really fascinating. It's captivated a lot of people across the country. One of the things we're seeing is that early voting numbers, the turnout is really high in Texas in the final days. More than 4.8 million ballots were cast during early voting. And that, guys, surpasses the total turnout of the 2014 midterm. So we do know that people are paying attention. It'll be curious to see what the returns are across the state as Cruz holds his last rally Monday near Houston. And O'Rourke is going to be finishing out in El Paso and on this trip that took him through each of Texas's 254 counties.
Well, you know, we interviewed Beto O'Rourke a couple months ago while we were in Texas and asked him about that issue of impeachment. And I believe what he said was that he wanted to wait until after the Mueller investigation came out to make that determination, but he wasn't against it in principle, which is the line that it sounds like a lot of Democrats have been trying to take this election season. They don't want to talk about it, but they don't want to dismiss it completely. Beth, the governorships around the country, a lot of people are saying that just as bad as the Senate map is for Democrats this time, a lot of Senate Democratic incumbents are up for election, that for governorships, Republicans are in trouble, too. They're holding a lot of the seats that are competitive.
Yeah, and what we're really looking at is how the Midwestern governors do. You know, those states that Trump surprised everybody by winning in 2016, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin. How are the governors are on the ballot in each of those states. And right now it looks pretty comfortably that a Democrat's going to be the next governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. She's been kind of a rock star of the Democratic gubernatorial field. Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, the governor there, likely to hang on. He's a Democrat. Wisconsin, Scott Walker, well-known. He ran for president in 2016, dropped out kind of early, but he's running for a third term. He's been sort of on the ropes. He may win, but it's going to be close. And Ohio, also very close. That's an open seat where the Democrat and the Republican are basically tied. So we've really been looking at whether or not those states in the Midwest, which handed Trump his victory in 2016, are sort of ramping up as more Republican-leaning, more red or more purpley-red than purpley-blue. And right now, it doesn't look like that's the case. It looks like the states are still very much in play, and in some cases in those Midwestern states, Democrats doing really well.
What are we to make of Georgia? We have the Republican candidate, Brian Kemp, who's also the state secretary of state. And there's a lot of question when he was running. Should you step down from the office that oversees elections? And he said no. Well, he's now accused Democrats of trying to hack the election without any evidence to support those claims. The FBI is declining to say whether there's an investigation. Here's his opponent, the Democrat Stacey Abrams, on CNN this morning.
It's a witch hunt that was created by someone who is abusing his power. Friday, Brian Kemp was notified that there was yet another flaw in the election security system. Twice before, he has accidentally released the information of 6 million Georgians. This was about to happen again.
Juana Summers, is this, I mean, again, it's, you know, there was a call for him to step down from Secretary of State. And now, you know, he's calling for an investigation. Your thoughts on how that might impact things in Georgia?
Well, this is a race that has really evolved into a really bitter back and forth over voting rights and ballot security, even before this kind of these 11th hour allegations. I think as we've been speaking to voters there, there's certainly a lot of concern about election security and whether or not it was appropriate for Kemp to remain in that position overseeing his state's elections. President Donald Trump campaigned alongside Kemp in Macon, Georgia. He made no mention of this issue at the rally. When he left the White House, he said he didn't know anything about it. But there's no question that aside from those issues that we talk about, like immigration, like health care, that this has been a defining issue of that Georgia race, where Stacey Abrams could be the nation's first African-American female governor if elected.
It's going to be very interesting. Juana Summers at the AP and Beth Fooey at NBC. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.